Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, March 31st, 2025. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Into Action on page 87, the first paragraph beginning with, "We usually conclude the period of meditation." And we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph ending with, "You can easily see why." Today's readers are Stephanie R., the 12 Steps, Michelle J., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Nancy P. in the text, Craig F. on page 164, and Marjo is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second hour moderator is Kathy C. The share ID for Sunday, March 30th, 2025, is 22,299. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, family. Good morning, Rick. Here are 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie. I will now ask Michelle J. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Morning, family. Hi, Rick. This is Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thank you, Michelle. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify us as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to unmute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Into Action on page 87. The first paragraph, beginning with, we usually conclude the period of meditation, and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with, you can easily see why. I will now ask Nancy P. to begin reading.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, and that we'd be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. Yes, and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own self. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Rick, you'll time me, please. So I never pray or meditate. But I do. I live in a state of prayerful meditation. I feel as though I do. In my opinion, is the only one that counts in that circumstance. But they're saying that basically all through the day, we should be thinking about other people and how we can be helpful. And I got to say that, you know, this is a working part of my mind. It's not a little gear over to the side that kicks in when I have to do a tough hill. It's always at the front of my mind. Where am I spiritually? And what am I doing? Am I interacting? Am I acting in a way that doesn't cause me what I call mental disquiet? And that's the difference. You know, today is 7 years and 4 months of recovery. And I didn't understand. I thought that the object of the game was, as people say, you know, some of my sponsees, when they ask me to sponsor them, I want to get abstinent and work the steps. And, you know, like, I just give one big eye roll when I hear that, because today I don't care about abstinence. I don't need to, because I don't worry about food, and I never, ever hurt myself with food. I don't know how that happened. As you know, it just came with no thought or effort on my part. So the promises, all of them to a single one, have come true for me in spades. And you know, this is like the end. This is the step 11 is the end of the process that prepares me to work step 12. So I've arrived at a place where I can say, how can I be helpful to other people all the time? And, you know, I have, how am I I'm shown how to do that by my nightly review when I say, what have I done today? How does it measure up against my ideals of what kind of a mother, wife, friend, employee, manager, you know, coworker, whatever? How do I want to act in those ways? And did anything sort of rub me the wrong way? Today, the only reason that I know that things rub me the wrong way and that I have to react appropriately or not react, but take care of things appropriately is because I stay in touch with other people constantly and all day of every day. I mean, or as much as I can, I make phone calls, I get phone calls, I sponsor, I do all that stuff. But the most magical elixir that this book offers me is fellowshipping, what I call fellowshipping. I'm not isolated anymore. I want to talk to other people. I want people to call me. I want to connect with people. And that heals me and allows me to understand where I can be helpful to other people, because my thinking is not still, my thinking today, if left to my own devices, will be suspect. I will be out for myself. I will be trying to make it work out for myself. And there's, you know, today I don't try that very much anymore because I stay in touch.
Just a reminder?
Yep, I'll wrap up. I was on the phone with my sponsor. I'd had some fear about work. You know, we talked about it and I'm good to go. And that happens all the time. So today, what I get from this paragraph is to shut up and keep walking. The journey itself is the destination. More will be revealed. And all of it, even when I don't get what I think I want, turns out for the best. And I think that's enough for me, and I'll pass. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Thanks for getting us started, Nancy. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. All right. So please give me your name and first initial if you'd like to share.
Bonnie B. from
Jen
Florida.
A. Tanya D.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Okay, I've got Bonnie B, Jen A, Tanya. What was the first initial of your last name?
D as in dog.
Okay. All right. So I've got Bonnie B, Jen A, and Tanya D.
Lisa B T.
Okay. Was that Lisa B T?
Yes.
Okay.
Nicole S.
Nicole S.
Claire E in UK.
Claire, got you, Claire.
Tony
okay.
D.
All right. I think we're going to stop there for right now. We'll get some more later. I've got Bonnie B, Jen A, Tanya D, Lisa B, T, Nicole S, Claire E, and Tony B. Bonnie B, you're up first, followed by Jen A. And when you introduce yourselves, please remember to include where you're calling from. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, thanks so much, Rick. This is Bonnie B. If you can time me, because I'm out on a walk. Calling from Fort Myers, Florida. I came into this program with a faith. I share that often. And so I did pray. I prayed often. This was the perplexing part for me. When I read this, for the first time, I understood that even my prayers were selfish. I came to God on a regular basis, but I had a list. I had a list, and most of it, if I'm honest, was connected to me or our six kids or our grandbabies or, you know, our current situation, anything that's going on. Even my prayers were selfish. I could never have seen that without this program. So what looks different now? The phrase, God, thy will not mine be done. Found out yesterday my husband's job took another shift, and so here we go, another move. Move 12, if you can believe it. The shift, God, thy will not mine be done. Thy will not mine be done. And however that plays out, it plays out. I still lay out in, you know, I lay out in front of God, you know, some of the things that are on my heart, some of the sadnesses I have, but I don't come to Him with my list. I come to Him with a list demanding. I will lay the sadnesses out in front of Him. I will say, you know, this breaks my heart, and I'm asking for Your will to be done in their lives, whatever that looks like. And please help me to step back and to allow You to be who You are, which for me is the creator of the universe. There's nothing that He misses. There's nothing that's outside of His control, nothing He doesn't know what's going on, and certainly nothing that He needs my help with. So this prayer portion was revolutionary for me because it helped me even see that my prayers were selfish. which I never would have believed. Never would have believed, but surprise, surprise, right? So that's all I wanted to share. And I just appreciate each and every one of you so much. And I wish you just blessings today. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. All right, Jen A., you're up next, followed by Tanya D. Go ahead, Jen.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. Thanks so much. And Nancy, thanks for kicking us off this morning. My name is Jen A. I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Colorado. Thanks, God, for saving a girl like me. You know, conclude the period of meditation and prayer. So, you know, it's giving me an outline. It's giving me direction. It's giving me structure in my life. And I came in a very undisciplined person. The only discipline that I had was using God as my bitch. My whole life, I prayed for my own selfish needs. I so identify with the last speaker, right? Like, that's the whole thing. I want what I want, and I'm going to get it by praying for it. And you should hear me, God. And today, it's a totally different shift that I've had inside my being and my soul. Because today, I want to live for God. I want God to be Lord of my life. When we got to this part of the book, and I was like, okay, well, what prayer do I start off with? You know, there was a beautiful prayer that was suggested to me on page 99 of the 12 and 12, and that was the St. Francis prayer. And interestingly enough, years later in the program, I'm still using that prayer on a daily basis. I use it throughout the day to remind me to stay centered in His will, not my will. And, you know, in the St. Francis prayer, you know, he says, make me a channel of peace, that when there's hatred, may I bring love, and that where there's wrong, may I bring a spirit of forgiveness, and that where there's discord, may I bring harmony, and that where there is error, may I bring truth, and that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, so that where there is despair, I may bring hope. And that is where, you know, the shadows then bring light, it says. And it's so cool because, you know, I just started praying this, and I found this meditation on YouTube, and she takes you through this meditation. I would just keep praying, and I would listen to it in my car on the way to work, all 11 minutes of driving. And then I could go to work, and I could do the last part of the prayer. Right? It says, speak rather to comfort others than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, and to love rather than be loved. Because it's by forgetting of myself that I'm going to find to forgive others, and I die to self with this prayer. And so I'm always in the workplace, and I'm always like, okay, seeking to understand others. And I'm like, okay, so maybe I should just go to my coworker and ask her, you know, just seek to understand and just say, you know, could you help me understand what you really want to do in this project, or what would be beneficial to the customer, or how we could serve the customer better. And that has just changed. And it's the lingo in my office. Hey, let's seek to understand. Hey, let's do, you know, our job is to love people, you know, not to force people. And I can do it with the people I work with. I can do it with my family members, my boyfriend, and everyone. So it shows me, it gives me, and then I ask God. And those are the best three words in this paragraph. And with that today, I'll pass. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you so much, Jen. Perfect timing. Tanya D., you are up next, followed by Lisa B.T. Go ahead, Tanya.
Hi, this is Tanya D., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. Thanks for leading the meeting, Rick. And yeah, you know, I think if I'm tempted to pray for myself, it suggests that I don't trust my higher power, you know, to provide for me, which suggests to me that I need to work on, you know, my relationship with my higher power, because that does, you know, sometimes come up for me, like that fear that, you know, God is going to let me down, like God is going to drop me, like, yes, everything is fine now, but, you know, I can't possibly deserve all this. And I, you know, I made calls about it a couple of weeks ago, having trouble with gratitudes because I was like feeling guilty that I have all this stuff. Like every time I would think of a gratitude, I'd be like, what about all these other people that, you know, don't have it? Like how, et cetera, et cetera. And what was really amazing is that people reminded, both people I talked to were like, take this to your higher power. And I don't know, just this is just making me think like there's nothing I can't take to my higher power. And if I feel like I'm deviating from these directions, there's probably a problem with my relationship that I need to look at, which from my point of view, like, it you know, it's normal for me to have problems in my relationships with God, relationship with God. You know, I'm human. I also love the first part of this paragraph, you know, asking to be shown all through the day what my next step is to be, and to be given power to take care of, you know, whatever it is, because I can forget. And this is extra insurance to say this prayer in the morning in case my day gets away from me, because it is much easier for me to, you know, connect with God on a schedule than to remember when, you know, things are getting hectic. And it's also something that, of course, I can work on staying connected with my higher power through the day. But saying that in the morning, yeah, just puts me in a frame of mind where I'm looking for signs from my higher power's will. And if I really do trust my higher power, like, that's all I really need is the awareness to look for signs of God's will and the freedom from self-will. And definitely, you know, far from perfect, but it's, you know, about continuing to improve my conscious contact with God. It's never about, you know, being perfect. And frankly, if I ever think that I'm like, oh, you know, there's a direct line from God to me, then I'm probably, you know, in trouble, because that's probably just my ego taking over. So thank you for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Tanya D. from Illinois. Lisa BT, you are up next, followed by Nicole S. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks, Rick. Thanks, everybody who has worked so hard to make sure this meeting is here every day. My name is Lisa. I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, Lisa BT, in Ontario, Canada. Something that in the lead chair really caught me, and I thought, oh, I think this is what I want to say has been my experience about an increasing conscious contact with God, and it was the idea of gears. I have never been a person who's been very mechanically minded, so I just, you know, would ride my bike as a kid, and when bikes started to come with gears, they always confused me. They always seemed to clunk, and I just sort of wanted to ride a bike, you know, old style. So that's what I did. But that meant I never really got any of the advantage of a bike with gears. And for me, with my conscious contact with my higher power, I just forget all the time. I just kind of go along just as me, and I forget. And it's remarkable to me how easily I just forget that, oh, wait a second, I can just turn to God. What would always come up first would be, oh, I can turn to the food. That would come up first all the time. And maybe not right away consciously, maybe just, you know, the little gatherings of things, the things we do step tens about, that, you know, didn't seem any big deal, but they'd be gathering. And eventually the thought would be, seemingly out of nowhere, I could turn to the food. So one of the things that for me has really shifted over time and is still shifting, is that, wait a minute, can the first place I turn be to God? And it's been a long, slow process for me, for sure. But I am seeing that shift. I am seeing that when my thought turns to food, that might be my first thought. But my second thought is, wait a second, what is needed here? Can I just take a quiet moment? Can I give this to God? Can I turn to God? And that's how I've sort of started to work with gears on my bicycle. And it's remarkable how it really helps me. So times when I'm gliding down a hill and I don't need the gear and I get all comfortable, hey, I don't even think I need program type of thoughts. Okay, right? I'm going downhill and that's lovely, but it's really been a major shift and I'm very grateful for that. And I didn't see it till sharing today and listening today. Thank you again, and I will pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa BT from Ontario. Nicole S., you are up next, followed by Clary. Go ahead, Nicole.
Good morning. This is Nicole S. I'm recovered in Colorado. And thank you so much, Rick, for your service. And this paragraph is such a good reminder for me that I need to be in constant contact with God all through the day. And, you know, I ask him for help, whatever problems arise. You know, I ask for help trusting that, you know, he's going to give me what I need to take care of such problems. For me, this is, I have to remember, it's not asking for it to be removed or for me to have ease and comfort, you know, just take this problem away so I can be comfortable again, because I know that the only way I learn is through when things are hard. God constantly gives me more than I can handle, because that's the only time I can, that I will just throw my hands up and like, I can't do it, and I have to give it over to him. And so just knowing that these problems, you know, whether it's a little problem or a big problem, you know, God's going to use that to grow me and to help me. And, you know, this thing of not asking anything for myself, I realized that a lot of times, you know, my character defects, they get in the way of my relationship with God and my usefulness to him by serving others. So I try to remember to ask God, you know, like, you know, we make ourselves, however, if others will be helped. So I can ask God to, you know, remove this character defect to help me with that so that I can be, you know, better use to others, and so I can help others and serve them. And it's not so that I can just be a better person and I can feel better about myself. So this is just a reminder for me all through the day. You know, I'm asking God what his will is, and I'm in that firing line of life, ready to help others and to serve others and for God to remove my selfishness. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. Claire E., you're up next, followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Claire.
Thanks, Rick. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in Cornwall in the UK. What was coming to me when we were reading this paragraph is really harking to a couple of paragraphs time where it talks about the pause of our day. You know, so we're sort of beginning to think about what we're going to do throughout the day. But this is actually still talking about our period of quiet time at the start of the day. It's kind of like, I think someone else sort of shared it, I sort of try and get in there really before my self-will gets in there. You know, it's like my time with God, please ask me. It's almost like asking to please remember to help me pause when I'm agitated and doubtful and ask for the next right sort of action, which it sort of comes onto as a throughout the day directions. And, you know, that's one of the things I'm learning very slowly to do, is just to slow down. And I need saving from my self-will. You know, I really do. I'm a great one for hustling and getting on with it and busy, busy, busy. And then suddenly at the end of the day, realizing I never really stopped to pause and ask what God's will was for me. So this is something I'm really starting to learn in recovery, is just to ask for it to start off with and just to slow down, keep going. And sometimes I can really get into overwhelm as well. And I find that really breaking it down, and I've heard a lot of shares on this, which really helped me, is just breaking it down to what is the next right thing, you know, and I had a previous sponsor that said sometimes it's just going to just do the washing up, you know, it's like I don't have to tackle my whole life problem at once. And then, you know, it's going on to sort of careful not to pray for ourselves, but it does say, you know, we can pray for ourselves if others are going to be helped. So I can pray, you know, to be abstinent, to be peaceful, to go into situations in a recovered, sane way. I can, you know, to be useful to other people. One of the ones I go to a lot is to be a good parent, my kids, to give them what they need, not necessarily what they want. You know, help me please be a good parent, because it will help other people. It will help other people if I'm good at my job. It will help other people if I can carry the message beneficially, if I can show up in OA. If I can be abstinent. So those are the sort of things I do pray. I do pray daily for my abstinence. You know, it's not a given to me. You know, I don't want to get to a point where I take that for granted. So yeah, great paragraph. And I'm blabbering a bit, so I'll park it and leave it there. It's good to be on the meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Clary from the UK. Tony B, you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Tony.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for your service. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And that's thanks to God's grace, thanks to these 12 steps, thanks to all of you, my family, who helped me to stay well. And thank you, Nancy, for the lead share. That was great. So thinking about this, you know, they are, in a way, selfish ends. I want to stay recovered. I want to be well. And I ask God to show me all through the day. That's I can say that in the morning, God, please show me all through the day, and then forget. So I do need to keep going through the day, as the last speaker was saying, actually, you know, that pause needs to be there, and asking what the next step is. And that saves me from my impulsiveness, just taking that short pause. And the next right step, so important, that good, orderly direction, you know, spells God, making the bed, doing the washing up, holding my tongue. That's a good one. I went out for a drive with my husband this morning to find somewhere new to walk our dog, and I got us lost on the way there, and he got quite cross. And I wanted to tell him, you know, it's a mistake, don't give me a hard time. And I did begin to argue, and then I knew that restraint needed to come in. I paused, and I literally bit my tongue. I mean, physically had it between my teeth. And I have to keep asking God, show me patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. You know, my husband's allowed to get a bit cross with me. It's all right. I don't have to retaliate. And this does help me, massively helps me, allows me to live a contented life. So it is for me. I must put my oxygen mask on first. So, you know, that selfishness is, you know, it is a selfish program in that sense. But I think more the praying for myself is, please let me win the lottery, or find the perfect partner, or whatever it is in that way, which is more what they're talking about, I believe. And making a call, yes, thank you, Nancy, for your lead share there. The fellowship connections are key for me, and God comes in where two or more are gathered with the same spiritual purpose, and that's just what we have. We have the same spiritual purpose of recovery. So with that, I will share the time. Thanks again, Rick. Love you all very much. Bye.
Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. Okay, just a little service announcement here. We've got our Vision for You Power of the Big Book Weekend coming up November 7th through November 9th in New Jersey. That's 221 days from now, so if you haven't registered or made your travel plans, go ahead and get on it. We want to see you there. So before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Into Action on page 87. The first paragraph, beginning with, we usually conclude the period of meditation, and we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph, ending with, you can easily see why. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who else would like to share on what was read today?
Leia.
Yes.
Was that Leia S. and Craig F.?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Got you, guys. Who else?
Lisa B.
Okay. Lisa B. Got some room here. Wonderful paragraph to be sharing on this morning.
Liz S.
Okay, Liz.
Thank you.
Teresa P.
Is that Tricia?
Cheryl. Cheryl L. Teresa. Florida.
Okay, Cheryl. And then who was right before Cheryl?
Teresa P. in Massachusetts.
Oh, how do you spell your name, Tricia?
It's T H E R E S A, Teresa.
Gotcha, Teresa. Okay. So I've got, and what was your first initial? Well, I'll cycle back on that one. So I've got Leia S., Craig F., Lisa B., Liz S., Teresa, Cheryl L. So when you introduce yourself, guys, please remember to include your full, you know, your name and first initial of your last and where you're calling from. Leah S., you're up next, followed by Craig F. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much. Okay, my name is Leah S. I'm recovered and really grateful in Brooklyn, New York. This is, actually, I want to begin with the big book. I don't know which paragraph, which chapter is more important than the other, but if we go back to page 60, the last paragraph on that page, it tells me that a life with self-will can really lead me to the dumps, because not always do I know what is going to happen. And even though I think I like to know what should happen, or what others should, I would like to direct other people to behave this way or that way. People are people. Each person has their own personality and their own opinions, and I'm really not in control about that. So really, how do I come to asking God, you do your will, by really first stating what I wanted, what I really wanted to happen, and then going on, you know what, God, it's gonna be whatever you want it to be, but let it come out to be peaceful for me and for others and all those that I deal with, because interacting with people is really a subject of and in itself, and it's not so simple. And all that used to lead me to food. My God, it used to lead me to pop things into my mouth that were really doing harm to my body. And it's so important to do that for me, to grow every single day. You know what? I didn't do this before, but maybe if I'm going to do it now, maybe it'll be good for me and for another person as well. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Craig F., you're up next, followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Craig.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. This is Craig F., and I'm recovering in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Thanks for calling on me. I read this paragraph, and I'm grateful that we have instructions on how to pray, that we have instructions on how to mold this spiritual way of life. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I'd like to tell you that I've reached some point of spiritual maturity where God can show me through the day how I can be of service, and my mind will be tuned right into it, you know, that I'll follow those instructions without thought. But I get distracted. I don't think I'm unique in that either, that I, you know, life distracts me as I go along. And one of the things that I grabbed out of this meeting was the idea that I should set some sort of schedule through the day to spot check whether I was, listening. God may be showing me what to do, but was I listening? Did he have my attention? And so I set my alarm in my phone to go off every 2 hours. And when it does, it plays a little chime music. So at 10 o'clock, 12, 2, 4, my phone rings, and my phone goes off, and I stop and I say, you know, have I strayed from the path? Have I let the cares of the world drag me from, the mission, drag me from the idea that I am to be of maximum service to God and my fellows? A friend of mine that suggested this to me has her phone go off. She has an iPhone, and so she's able to have it tell her to thank God. She's probably maybe on here right now, and you know, I learned that from her, and My phone didn't, either my phone can't do it or I'm not tactically able to make it do that. I don't know, but the chime music is enough. It corrects me. You know, it's like driving down the road and I'm not conscious of the white line and the yellow line while I'm driving all the time, but the yellow line and the white line are there to remind me, and the little saw cuts in the shoulder are there to remind me that I'm getting off the track, you know? So as I go through the day, stopping and praying, the phone ringing every 2 hours, it's there to remind me, am I getting off the track? You know, have I lost my focus? And am I letting emotions build up? Do I need to do a 10th step?
And a reminder?
I appreciate that. And so I'm glad for that reminder, too, that tells me it's time to hang up and shut up. So that I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Craig F. from Oklahoma. Lisa B., you're up next, followed by Liz S. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Michigan. The part that, sticks out to me, I'm so used to running the show and not having anyone to rely on, and that includes God. I mean, for the longest time. So often I get a gentle reminder, like a tap on the shoulder, is like, hey, you have a loving higher power, remember? You don't have to do it all yourself. You can ask for help. And that's the part that has always stuck out to me, is the all through the day part. Whenever I read that, I get this warm, fuzzy feeling, and it's a feeling of love, and God is love. So because for the longest time, it's like, why do I get that feeling every time I read those simple words? And I think that's why. It's because it's God's love in action. So, I'll keep coming back and trying to practice these principles in all my affairs. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from Michigan. Liz S., you're up next, followed by Teresa. Go ahead, Liz.
Thank you very much. Liz S., recovered compulsive eater in Portland, Oregon. I inherited my great-grandfather's Webster's Dictionary. It's copyrighted 1922. And I happened to look up the word meditation in it because I was having a hard time sitting there and breathing in and breathing out and doing that kind of meditation. When I read these pages, I was so happy to find out that or to realize that they have an alternate meaning, that there's the alternate meaning of meditation that was defined in that old dictionary as focusing on a single purpose or a single thing, but to focus on one thing. These paragraphs that we've been reading, 86 to 87, starting from On Awakening, makes me feel like the On Awakening paragraph, the In Thinking About Our Day paragraph, and the We usually conclude this period of meditation that we're supposed to be praying. Here are the things we're supposed to consider, including the things in the paragraph we've just read. So that is an easier meditation for me. I offer it to anyone else who has a hard time breathing in and breathing out and doing that kind of meditation. And meditation also has another meaning, and I tend to believe that that's the meaning that they had back in 1939 when they wrote these paragraphs. The other thing that I've gotten out of this paragraph, and I've gotten it out today, is to when I was feeling uncomfortable about, we may ask, let me see, the whole concept of not praying for our own selfish ends, but doing for others. I was raised up on doing for others at the expense of doing for myself. And as somebody earlier said, put your own oxygen mask on first. It's not a black and white kind of thinking world. It's an analog world, folks, even though we use digital. But this thinking that it's up shades of gray, shades of color, and that I can think of myself and take care of myself and set boundaries and do all those things while taking care of others. And I can also remove selfish thoughts. So that's what I have to share for today. And thank you for letting me share. And I pass, Rick.
Well, thank you, Liz S. from Oregon. All right, Teresa, you're up next, followed by Cheryl L. And Teresa, if you could include first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Go ahead, Teresa.
Good morning, everyone. This is Teresa P. I'm from Massachusetts. Today's reading from the Big Book really touched my heart today. You know, I am a compulsive eater. I am working my program, but I just not in a place where I would call myself recovered. I spent most of my time before program turning to God when I wanted something or there was a crisis. I did not have conscious contact with God on a daily basis. Recently in January, my mom became sick, and through program, by God's grace, I was able to pray for acceptance and to serve a role for her, and that she and we could all accept that she spent the past couple of weeks on hospice at home. We had the honor of taking care of her and praying for acceptance then and now, instead of what I had wanted, which it was actually unrealistic. That's something one of the reasons I know God brought me to program. And right now, my disease wants me to isolate. So here I am. God brought me to program this morning, and I'm sharing for the very first time. So thank you for letting me share with you, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Teresa P. from Massachusetts. All right, Cheryl L., you're up next, and then we'll get a couple more names as time allows. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. from Florida calling in this morning. Grateful to be on the line. Thank you for all of the shares this morning. Today marks the first day of my retirement, and I cannot tell you how grateful I am to be able to sit in this meeting with pen and paper and take notes. And I wanted to just say that. The first paragraph here says that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. And as I sit and listen today, I just think about who is in my life. Who is in my life today? My sponsors, my sponsees, my husband, all of you on this line. I realize that there is so much service that I can do just focusing on the people that are in my life. So in my daily, you know, in my morning meditation now, I can call to mind each of these people and I can say, you know, how would you have me be of service to these individuals? But I also like what I heard this morning where it said, you know, somebody said something to the effect of you cannot do for others at the expense of your own health. So first and foremost, I have to make sure that the oxygen mask is on my face, that I'm doing what I need to do because I do have some health issues right now to take care of myself. And then the other thing that I really like is somebody told me a long time ago to pray in the pause. So as I'm going through the day, you know, that reminder of, you know, stopping and listening and checking in with God and saying a prayer, how am I doing, you know, God, you know, please help me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Cheryl L. from Florida. So I'm going to take a couple more names for just slightly reduced share times. Who would like to get on the share list?
Pedro B.
Okay, got you, Pedro. Who else?
This is Marion H. from Florida.
All right. Pedro B., you're up next, followed by Marion H.
Good morning, Rick. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, that last sentence, you can easily see why. It's like, I don't see it. I don't see why. You know, many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work. What doesn't work? It's my selfish ends, my selfishness and my self-centeredness. That's the root of my troubles. Yeah, and we must get rid of this selfishness or it kills us, he says, the big book. You know, and that's the problem. You know, I want what I want when I want it, and sometimes what I want hurts me. And not all the time. Where if I want the right thing, if I, you know, this thing is like the meeting yesterday is it's about living a proper way, living my life the way it should be lived, you know. You know, one of the things that I learned in program is that to pray. Right, to pray, and you know, it's in this line. We ask especially for freedom from self-will. That's the root of my trouble, right? My self-will. So, you know, being basing my life on this idea of God's will, because there's my will, and then there's God's will, and for me. You know, it's a very personal thing. God is good. You know, it's that to me is the goodness in my life. The part of me that wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. This, you know, this idea. So, it's if I'm consciously, you know, trying to do the right thing for the right reasons, then I'm in the path to happy destiny, which is what I really want. You know, I want to have a life. You know, live my life successfully. And that means that, you know, that I need to help other people. You know, just like I wrap up with this. On page 77 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, there's a sentence that says, our real purpose is to be your maximum service to God and the people about us. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Pedro B. from California. Marion H., you're going to take us out and just include where you're calling from.
Yes, can I be heard? This is Marion
yep.
H.
Gotcha.
I'm from Florida, and thank you so much for your service and everyone who's on the line. I'm recovered, but always one bite away. And I like what a gentleman said, that he sets his watch every 2 hours. Someone else told me that a while ago, and checking with God, and that makes me slow down. And know that I'm with God and I'm supposed to do what God wants me to do for the day and to help others and to get out of myself and not to isolate and to work this amazing, amazing program that God has put in front of me. And I'm so grateful for that and for all the people who are in it and for my struggling that I never left for many, many years, but I am recovered and I am with God. And I'm with your people, and it's the most beautiful life. And I thank you when I pass.
Well, thank you, Marion H. from Florida. We got time for a minute share if somebody wants that. If not, I'll go ahead and close out the meeting. Okay, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, March 31st, 2025, is 22,300. That's 22,300. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You caught me thinking about something else. I'm sorry. Hold on just a sec.
No worries.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you could do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Well, thank you, Craig. Waiting for the recording to end.